this church and for this privilege to preach. Haven't lived in Michigan for nearly 34 years, and I grew up about 5 miles from here. And things are a lot different around here now than they were 34 years ago. And they're a whole lot different than they were 70 years ago when I entered this world. When we come in off the interstate the other night, there at the Clio exit, I remember when there was no interstate there. And it was all farmland. Time does not stop for anyone. And some things that man calls progress aren't really progress.
Right.
I believe Brother Graber kind of refreshed our memories of that in his message. But according to that clock, I got about 40 minutes. I don't want to frighten you, but I don't hardly ever preach over an hour. One time, we had a man come to preach at Northside, and before services started, he says, "Where's the clock?" One of the lady members says, "Oh, he don't pay any attention to that." I don't. It's off here to the left, to my right. And when I begin to preach, my peripheral vision stops. But I always watch my time when I'm preaching in these conferences, especially now because I know you're all hungry. And I might get something thrown at me if I go too long. But we'd ask you this morning to turn to Isaiah chapter 56. And verse 7, our subject this morning will be prayer. It's something that we all need, something we're all commanded, but I think it's something we all neglect. Much prayer, or that which is called prayer that's offered up, isn't really prayer.
You're right.
And there are many books that have been written on the subject. There are many ideas about prayer that don't really stack up with prayer in the Bible. You know, I've heard some say that you're not praying unless you're on your knees. But yet as we look through the scripture, we find there were those that prayed on their knees. There were those that prayed standing up with their hands lifted up to heaven. There were those that prayed prostrate on the ground. And there were those who prayed laying in their bed because they couldn't get out of their bed. And we look at Elijah, and he prayed with his head between his knees. So, you know, there's not a specific place or position that we need to be in to pray. Our prayers should come from the heart. And that's the position we need to be in. Here in Isaiah chapter 56 and verse 7, he says, "Even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted unto mine altar. For mine house shall be called an house of prayer for all people." And I don't believe this is all people in general. I believe this is specifically speaking of God's people. And I'm not going to debate over the subject of whether lost people can pray or not. That's not this. What we see here is our responsibilities, our need. And I don't like within myself sometimes at the end of a day, when I'm so exhausted that it seems like I can't pray. But those things come to pass. You know, I talked to one individual one time that said, well, we're supposed to pray three times a day. And he's had reference to Daniel. Well, I don't think Daniel only prayed three times a day. I think he demonstrated to the government there that they could not tell him he could not pray.
Amen.
And it was his custom to pray in the morning and pray at noon and pray at night. But I believe he had prayer in between.
Right.
Whenever a need comes up, we need to pause and pray. And I'm a failure at this. Sometimes, you know, when we're traveling and our patients are gone, what do we do? How do we react? Not how we should. We ought to pray. Because God's in control. Didn't surprise him that those intelligent people cut us off. We ought to pray. In prayer, when we look at prayer, prayer is a duty and a privilege.
Amen.
Unto us. Every child of God. And you know, there are specific things the Bible tells us that we are to pray for and those to pray for. Let's look for a moment in Ephesians chapter 6, and we find some of this. You know, when all else fails, no matter what the subject, this book is the best instruction book.
Amen.
Not what man has written, and not that some things that men may write about any subject won't give us some guidance. It's always good to see what somebody else thinks or has input upon a specific subject in Scripture. But the bottom line is, it's God's Word, and He's the best guide for His Word. But here in Ephesians 6 and verses 18 and 19, he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Therein lies the first secret of prayer, in the Spirit. He says, and watching thereunto with all perseverance, supplication for all saints. And he said all saints. He didn't say for our specific circle. For all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly, to make known the mystery of the gospel. How often is the man of God prayed for to preach the gospel?
Amen.
But don't think that Paul is just saying, as we heard last night, don't think that Paul is just saying that the only ones that are to preach the gospel are the men of God.
Amen.
This is all of our responsibility.
Amen.
You know, when we begin a day and we know that we're going to go out and about in this world, should we not ask God to help us to seize every opportunity that comes our way to preach the gospel?
Amen.
That's part of prayer. But it needs to be done in sincerity. So much prayer is just words that are offered up. Prayer comes from the heart.
Amen.
Prayer is led by the Holy Spirit. Prayer needs to be a important part of our life. And prayer should not be led by our emotions. Again, it should be led by the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. Over in 1 Timothy chapter 2, we have also some other instructions as far as prayer is concerned. Paul says, I exhort thee therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Verse 2 there, over the last 8 years, was hard to do.
Right.
But it didn't alter the responsibility.
Amen.
You know, sometimes it's easier to criticize someone than to pray for them. And I'm not just talking about political people here. I'm talking about everybody. Including within our families. You know, spouses. Do we ever pray for our spouse the way we ought to? Or do we criticize? When I worked in the factories down here in Flint after Linda and I married, I worked with a couple guys that from the time they punched their clock to the time they left at night, the only thing they did is you know, their wife did this wrong, their wife did that wrong, and blah, 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 all day long. I heard these two men doing that. You know what? First, what started it with myself until the Lord got a hold of me, I started looking around. My wife's doing this wrong. She's doing that wrong. You listen to all this stuff, and it'll affect you.
Amen.
But what do? Pray for our spouses.
Amen.
And consider also, am I perfect? Do I do everything right? Well, you ask some people that, and they tell you yes. But in reality, we don't. We're to pray one for another. And as we've seen in these verses, pray for all saints. Pray for all people. Pray for that individual that may not be using their mind when they follow you for 6 miles and go around you about a half a mile from an exit just to get off ahead of you. Well, you know what we're saying. Those things are aggravating. And you know what? Satan knows what aggravates you. He does. He doesn't know what's in your heart and mind, but he sure keeps a good book on you. And he'll put those things out there. Prayer should always be, as we said before, from the heart and by faith. Why by faith? For what we've just seen here in these couple of verses we've read in Ephesians 6 and 1 Corinthians chapter, I mean it's 1 Timothy here, chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. By faith. And there's other, notice the verse 2 here in 1 Timothy again, he's in chapter 2. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. See the promise he gives us here?
Amen.
Government is never going to do everything that we would like them to do. Government's never going to do everything according to the scriptures. But we can live quietly and honestly when we sincerely pray. We're not going to change. We're not going to change what this world is going to do. But we can live a better life if we are surrendered. When we pray, do we have confidence that the Lord hears us? I've heard some people talk about, you know, praying for situations, and you can talk to them 5 minutes after they prayed, and there's is doubt in their mind. Why have you prayed? Whom have you prayed to? You know, we need confidence when we pray unto the Lord our God that He does hear us.
Amen.
And that He does answer our prayers. You know the problem with a lot of people when they pray, they don't realize that sometimes God says no.
Right. Amen.
And when we're talking to God, He is our Heavenly Father. And I can recall, and we can relate talking to our Heavenly Father into some of our experiences in life when we were under the authority of our fathers. Now, when my dad said no, there was no questions. There was one time I went over to see one of my friends, and I was the only one that had a car. And they asked him and his brother, and one of his brother's buddies were there, and they wanted to go somewhere down to Flint. And they said, "Will you take us?" And I said, "If my dad says I can." Well, my buddy's parents right away, they go ahead. So I went over to this other guy's parents, and he begged and pleaded and cried for, it seemed like forever, but it was about 45 minutes, and finally they said yes. And I says, "Fellas, we can't go until I find out if my dad will let us go." We drove out to our house. My dad said no. He says, "I'll take you guys back home." And this kid that had pleaded and begged, he says, "Aren't you going to plead? Aren't you going to beg?" And I says, "There's no sense doing it here." No means no. Well, the same thing when we ask petitions of God. The answer may be no. Or it may not be today. And that's another thing. You know, people will pray and ask something and they expect it right now. God does things in His timetable, not ours. But we need to be sincere in our prayers, and that we're sure that they come from within the heart. Because God does hear. His ear is always open. And David said that He is an ever-present help in the time of need. I've seen the Lord answer prayers within seconds. One time when we were doing mission work in Illinois, I don't know if Brother Darrell remembers this or not, but we used to go over Wednesday nights for services. We had Thursday nights on the mission work. And Brother Swisher, Mike Swisher, who just recently passed away, he'd had the hiccups from Wednesday night, from Sunday night until all day Wednesday. And as we gathered for prayer, Brother Darrell said, "We need to pray for Brother Swisher. He's had the hiccups since Sunday night." And as we prayed, was asked, because Brother Swisher was a song leader, if the Lord would remove these hiccups, and they disappeared just like that. Amen. I've seen the Lord do that. But I've also seen the Lord, you know, make us wait. Make us wait. We just, well, a year ago, when I seen my primary physician, he says, "I'm going to have you see your urologist." He says, "Because the size of your prostate," he says, "you have to have cancer." Well, that's kind of, doesn't set well in your mind. But at the same time, all the doctors I'd ever had said there was no firmness, so they didn't think there was. So I had this in my mind. Well, the VA messed up with the urologist, and when I seen the doctor in January and told him what had taken place, I didn't know that. So they put me on what they call Veterans Choice, which means they put you out into the general area within 50 miles of your radius. They get just a urologist, and I went to see this urologist the 28th of February, and he checked me, and he says, "There's no firmness," he says, "but we're going to have schedule you for a ultrasound and a biopsy just to make sure." He says the ultrasound will see what I can't feel, and the ultrasound will tell us for sure. I mean, the biopsy will tell us for sure. So I started talking to him about treatments. And he said, "Aren't we getting a little ahead of ourselves here?" And I told him what the doctor had said, and he says, "What kind of a doctor would tell you that?" Well, the doctor I got for primary care. But I had the biopsy. And I went back on the 24th of March, 31st, I went back, and he said, "Everything's clear." But I had prayed, "Lord, It's your will. Your will be done. If there's nothing there, praise the Lord. If there is, that's very treatable. But, you know, so many times people hear something like that and they just totally panic. Don't get excited until you have to. In the meantime, keep it before the Lord. You know, let's look over in James for a moment. And I believe this is part of the problem with people's prayers today. James in chapter 4 and verses 2 and 3. He says, "You lust and you have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not." Then he says, "Ye ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your own lust." You know, I believe this is the biggest problem with people's prayer life today. It's all about me.
Amen.
It's not the Lord's will.
Amen.
Many times when people pray, they're telling the Lord what they want Him to do. They're not asking. They're not, you know, prayer. Part of prayer is pleading. Part of prayer is praise. Part of prayer is thanksgiving.
Amen.
And I believe this is where people fail a lot as far as thanksgiving and prayer, praise.
You're right.
And also where part of prayer is blessing. Bless God, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
That's a prayer. That's a prayer of thanksgiving. And many times when people pray and ask and seek the Lord for something, and when the Lord delivers, there's no thanksgiving. Public prayer, for the most part, I'm not going to say it's worthless, but it's not very effective. Why? The best, and I'm going to give you an example. The best time of prayer for me is when I am all by myself.
Amen.
No distractions.
Right.
No interference of this world. Just me and the Lord.
Amen.
And I can pour my heart out to Him about everything that is in my life. And I have confidence that He hears. And when we see the answer to prayer, we need to bless. We need to be thankful. You know, one of the best examples in the Scripture for the answer of prayer and thanksgiving, I believe, is Solomon. You know, when he was going to build a temple, what did he do? He came before the Lord and he laid it all out for the temple. And in his prayer that he would bless the Lord afterwards, and that Israel would be aware that this temple is where God would meet with His people. And what did God's response was to him? "I've heard your prayer. And I will bless my people here."
Amen.
But he also in that, what does he say? "If my people." Mm-hmm. If my people. You know, if they surrender. If they're faithful. And we're paraphrasing some. You know, if they honor me, I will answer their prayer.
Amen.
We need to be faithful. We need to honor our God. You know, in Matthew chapter 6, what the world, religious world calls the Lord's Prayer, this is a outline. You know, just to repeat it, if you go a few verses before that, the Lord strictly tells us that repetitive words aren't heard. But there is an example. Who are we addressing when we pray? We're addressing the Heavenly Father. And we need to recognize Him as the one who is in control of this world. His will is going to be done in heaven as it is, or in earth, on earth as it is in heaven. He is the one who forgives us our trespasses. We are to forgive those whom trespass against us. So you look at that prayer, and there is a model there that we are to recognize.
Right.
Now, every time we pray, we may not ask for somebody who's trespassed against us. But I believe every time we pray, we need to recognize, we need to confess our sins before Him.
Amen.
We need to recognize that we have come short of His honor and His glory. That we need to recognize Him as the one who forgives us. Now we know in the Scriptures also that the Lord makes it plain that we're to come before the throne of God through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's through Him that our prayers are to be offered up to the Heavenly Father. This is the pattern that He has given us. You know, this world, the religious world, they have many ways in which they say they pray. And for the most part, they waste their time. It does you no good to have a bunch of beads and to go through and listening on the radio on the way up here, and they had there was a man who was Catholic, and he was trying to compare what he believed with this guy who has this one of these mega churches, and of course neither one of them knew what they were talking about. But you know, he says, you know, when I confess, I have to say so many Hail Marys and all this. Mary, don't hear you. We address the Heavenly Father through the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He takes our prayers before the Heavenly Father. But there's also another one who is involved in our prayers. In the book of Romans, in chapter 8, in verses 26 and 27, he says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we ought to pray for as we ought." That's very important that we recognize that. You know, it's not flowery words. It's not how educated you may sound when you pray. It's, again, is our prayer coming from the heart? Is it coming through the Holy Spirit? For, as we see here again, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings and utterings which cannot be uttered. And He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." So when we come before the throne of God, address the Heavenly Father through the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit is leading this. He's going to make groanings and utterings. You know, in other words, He's going to take our prayers. And He knows what's on our heart. We may not know how to utter the words, but the Holy Spirit knows what's upon our heart.
Amen.
And He intercedes before the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ takes those prayers before the Heavenly Father, and they are heard. And they are answered here, as we see here, according to His will. I don't always know how to pray. Aren't there times that we've all just said, "Help me, Lord"? There are situations that will come into our life, have been and will, that we're just beside ourselves. I don't know how to approach God. But when I have surrendered my soul and spirit unto God through the Holy Spirit that dwells within me, and I approach the throne of God, there's utterings that go before the Heavenly Father. And you know, sometimes in those cases, it don't take long when we've concluded our prayer to see the hand of God working in our life.
Amen.
Praise and thanksgiving are due our Heavenly Father. I said before, and again, say it again. Many times, when we've prayed and God has answered our prayers, we go on our merry way and never give thanks, never give any praise, never glorify the Heavenly Father. How many times when we arise in the morning and we see that sun shining, do we stop on our prayers to say, "Thank you for another day. Thank you for this sun. Thank you for the blessings of this day"? You know, when I get back home, I my plans are to get my garden worked up. And within a couple weeks, I'll have it planted. And then you wait for God to bless. And I enjoy gardening. I don't know about anyone else. And some have told me it's a waste of time because you can go down to the farmer's market and buy everything you need for less than what you spend on that garden. But I enjoy it. And you know, when I'm out there working in that garden, sometimes it's some of the best prayer time I have. But last year, the Lord had other plans for my garden. I planted it, and we had rain for 10 straight days. Much of my seed rotted in the ground. And then what come up was just at the point that we was going to be able to get some fruits from it. We had the worst flood in Elkton they'd had in nearly 30 years. We had water all the way past the front of our house. There was water waist deep in my garden. And that's not too good. We got no beans. We got no squash. The corn was high enough that we did get a couple pickings of corn. But all those green tomatoes that were about this big around, within days, rotted. We did eventually get some tomatoes. Didn't kill the tomato plants. But are we to sit around and gripe and complain because we didn't get a garden? No. That's all part of God's doing. God is in control of this world. We are His children. And as we use the example of, you know, being raised under our Father, we need to submit unto the Heavenly Father as we did to our earthly fathers. Now, I know in the world we live in today, there aren't too many that submit to their earthly fathers, but they're commanded to.
Amen.
But we are to submit to our Heavenly Father. And part of that submission is recognizing that we need to address Him continuously. Giving Him thanks for a day. Bringing our needs before Him. Giving Him the praise for His blessings. And as we see in these words we've read this morning, that we're to pray for all saints and for all people. When we're talking to someone and they'll say, Brother so-and-so or Sister so-and-so in our church, they have this problem or that problem. Like when we heard about Brother Sinek, we began to pray for Brother Sinek. Prayed for his surgery. Prayed that that the Lord would see him through this. And the Lord did. So what do we do when we see this? We praise Him. Give Him honor. Give Him glory.
Amen.
And like I said, you know, it was hard the last 8 years to pray for President Obama. But you know what my main prayer for him was? That Lord save him.
Amen.
That's the only thing that's going to change anybody, is that they be saved. Now, President Trump, I don't know that he's saved. From his religious background, I kind of doubt it. But I do believe Vice President Pence is a saved man. Part of my prayer is that he will be a positive influence on Donald Trump. When I heard him give his acceptance speech, and he said, I'm a Christian first, I'm a conservative second, and a Republican third. I said, that man's got my vote. Priorities. Priorities. And this prayer is a priority in our life. We need to begin our day with prayer. We need to end our day with prayer. And prayer throughout the day. You know, I do believe, and this is with me and it's probably with you too, some of the most wasted prayers is when we give thanks over our food. That's sorry to say. But how many times when we have prayer at any meal is it's pretty much the same words all the time. But that also needs to come from within the heart. That also needs to be led by the Spirit of God that dwells within us. And it's through the Son of God, our Savior, and the power of the Spirit that dwells within us to guide our prayers and to recognize all that we need to pray for, all things we need to pray for. And there's a lot that's going on in this world at this time, a lot of things that will affect us as a nation and as a people and as churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. These are all things we need to have on our hearts and minds at this time and to earnestly bring them before the Lord in prayer.